I do thank Brian for mentioning that, and that's what I have in my notes as well, to make sure and mention there are many. As I was sitting there thinking about heaven is rich with motherly resources, amen. I know there's many who have lost their mothers, and they can't be here, but they can be here, can't they? And they're always there. So we thank you. Thank you, brother. As I was preparing for this day, and I'll be honest with you, the preparation for this started a month ago. Looking at a lot of verses, looking at a lot of ideas. And I came upon this verse, and God just kept bringing me back to this verse. And I'll be honest with y'all, when I first looked at it, I thought, boy, I might not ought to read that verse to begin with. I might have start with something else, because it doesn't sound like it's going to be a real encouraging message for mothers. And I understand that, but bear with me. I love Dr. Campbell Morgan said. Dr. Morgan had four sons, and they were all preachers, including him. So there were five preachers in the house. And one of their friends were over. They were having a family get together one day, and they thought they would just kind of check and see what Howard, which was the youngest of Dr. Morgan's sons, what he was made of. And so he asked him a question. He said, "Howard, who is the greatest of preachers in your house?" And the story that Dr. Campbell shares, he said, Howard, his youngest son, looked around and looked at each of the other four preachers that were sitting there. And without much hesitation at all, he looked straight at this friend and he said, "My mother." I want you ladies to understand, you have an opportunity to influence and to do far more than what this sermon that I'm about to give you will ever do. Any program we have at this church will ever be able to do. And that is, you have the ability to exert your character, your God-given gifts, and your influence on young women, young men, on everyone that comes and enters into this building. Amen, church? I think one of the best movies that I have seen as of late is the movie War Room. And as I was writing this, it just kept coming back to my mind. That's really, if you want to bring down and shrink down the whole concept of that movie, it was about a lady who understood she has the ability to influence others around her. Amen? And I just want you to understand, that's what you have. As we continue in our series, God's Grace, and you may say, well, the verse didn't say anything about grace. Well, I don't know, but it's pointing all to it, isn't it? When we talk about the mothers and we talk about influence in our next generation. Again, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, about how important, how vital it is for this next generation to be taught what we know. And as I said, ladies, you have a unique place to where you can have more influence than I or this church could ever have by doing that. Now, with that said, yes, I'm talking, going to try to kind of talk to mothers this morning, but not just mothers. I want to talk to all of us that are here. I want to talk to those, maybe you've not necessarily a mother physically. I want you to understand you're a mother spiritually. And guys, I don't want you tuning out because you might be sitting there thinking, well, he's going to talk to the ladies today, so I can just take a nap. No. It's something that's for all of us. The principles that I'm going to share with you that we find in this passage relates to every single one of us, but obviously it speaks to women as well. 1 Timothy 5:1-2 says, treat younger men as your brothers, older women as your mothers, and younger women as your sisters with absolute purity. Every church, our church, has and needs women who will come alongside other women and just teach them about life, huh? Teach them how to live life. Who nurture them and train them and care for them and give them attention. So really, I'm probably talking more, the better term would be spiritual mothers. And that means anyone, any of you. It doesn't matter if you have an actual physical child or not. You can be a spiritual mother. And I just want to tell you, we can change this world. Now let me ask before I finish that statement. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you agree with me. How many of you agree the world needs to be changed? Raise your hand. We can change the world. And we can do it one woman, one young woman, one young man, one person at a time. Amen. That's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said many, many years ago, and I love his statement. It's the first blank that you have on your sheet, by the way. It says, a righteous person is one who lives for the next generation. I want you to ponder that for just a second and think about that. How much truth is in that statement? A righteous person is one who lives for the next generation. Now, Paul, in talking to this church, he wrote to Titus, and he was talking about the church that he was serving at. He could have chosen a lot of subjects to talk about the health, or what would help the health of this church. He could have talked about taking up offerings. He could have talked about ordaining deacons. He could have talked about taking up and figuring out who should be the pastor. Hey, by the way, he did talk about all those things, didn't he? But then he also talks about women. I'm going to read it to you this now in the NIV. It says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, and to be busy at home, and to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Now, like I said, I know it talks a lot and says points a lot to women, but I want everybody to understand it. What we're going to talk about applies to all of us. We all have a responsibility in instructing and coming alongside the next generation, don't we? Now, to start off with, I want to just get one thing out of the way. One of the things that the 30 years of being in ministry has taught me a little bit of wisdom, and I want you to notice that Paul starts off, the coward that he is, says, older woman. He never describes what the older women are, what age that is, does he? So after 30 years, I've come to understand that and just accept that to mean those of you who are a little bit further along than others. Pretty diplomatic, amen? The truth of the matter is, if you have been a believer 2 weeks longer than somebody else, then you're a little bit further along than they are, aren't you? I think that's really what he's talking about. And I want to give you some simple observations, and this is going to be very short. We had a lot of extra things going on this morning, but I want to share two observations with you, and just a little bit about each one of those observations. First one, when it's talking about what is our responsibility for this next generation, first of all, I want you to see how you live matters. Paul begins and says to the older women, he tells Titus to tell them to be godly. You know what jumps out at me about this is not that Paul was being critical or not that Paul was trying to point out a problem. I think Paul was pointing out to the fact that these women were not marginalized in the church. They had an important job to fill. They weren't just there to fill up some spaces in the pew. He's saying, listen, they have a responsibility. They're not yesterday's news. They're not sitting on the sidelines. They have a job to do in this Mediterranean seed church. As a matter of fact, Paul says not only is it good, he said the only way this church is going to be healthy is when the older women are not marginalized, when they're involved in ministry. Five challenges very quickly under it matters how we live. Number one, he says we need to be teachable. We all know that, don't we? I don't care what it is, what area of work, what you're talking about. I don't care if it's in your career. I don't care if it's in technology. I don't care what area it matters. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. We have to be teachable, don't we? We have to be willing to learn. Second thing he says is that we need to, he says to Titus, tell them to watch their lifestyle. I think what he's trying to say is that tell them, and so thus telling us, we need to live in an appropriate way. Because here's the reality. People that you don't even know or recognize are watching what each of us do. Amen? You know that old saying, sum up for some people, we're the only Bible they will ever read? We need to remember we need to be teachable. And we need to watch our lifestyle. He tells Timothy, we were looking at Titus, but he also tells Timothy in Timothy 1:4-16, be careful about the way you live and about what you teach. Keep on doing this and you will save not only yourself, but the people who hear you. We've got to be teachable, don't we? And we have to make sure that we watch our lifestyle. Third thing I think he tells us is that we need to stay active in serving God. Of all of the years that I have studied God's Word, I have yet to find a verse that says, okay, when you get to this place right here, then you can retire from serving the Lord. I've never found that verse. Has anybody found it? It's okay to retire from being a believer? No. We need to stay active serving God. Now, number four, I really thought I might get in trouble, but I think I'm going to be able to skirt around this one pretty well. And that is, we need to practice self-control with our tongues. Now, if you really want a good lesson on this, just go to the book of James, amen? James makes it very plain about how important it is about what we say. He uses illustrations about it, about being able to control a horse. See, I can relate to those kinds of things. We have six of them wandering around eating hay at our house. And even the smallest one, which is a Welsh pony, you definitely don't want him stepping on you. We have one out there that's the size of an elephant. And we also one that looks like a mule too, don't we, Jay? Anyway, that's a personal thing, sorry. My point is, you want to really have some problems? Have a horse that is uncontrolled. Amen? But it says just putting the bit in its mouth controls it. Guiding the ship. A fire. All these things that he brings out. We need to be careful with our tongues. Amen? We may say something. We may think nothing about it. But it almost crushes somebody else. And that's what Paul is telling Titus to tell these ladies. Be careful. But he's also telling each of us as men and everyone, all the rest of us, children, we need to be careful about what we say. Fifth thing about it really matters how we live is we need to be aware of inappropriate behavior. Now, I know it says you must not be a heavy drinker. I understand that. But I think the bigger picture here is what he's trying to tell us is, don't let there be anything that causes you to be a stumbling block for someone else. We need to be careful of that. But you know what? As important as Paul says it is as to how we live matters, I think he makes even a better point about the fact that it's even more important, maybe, who we pass it on to matters. 2 Timothy, he said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded how it lives in you. We all need principles to be guided on. Why did these couples bring up those children? Not only little ones, but also some that are getting a little bit older, getting close and are teenagers. Why did they want them dedicated? It's because we understand that every one of us must have principles to live by. We need people who will give us a picture of what the truth is all about. We need someone who will believe in us and stand by us and guide us and encourage us and model for us what it means to live according to Christ. We don't need someone just to know, and we don't need to just know, but we need somebody who will show us what it looks like. Now, I want to talk for just a moment to you, mothers and fathers, who have little ones at home. The spiritual training of your child is one of the greatest responsibilities God ever entrusts. God placed in you a stewardship of great importance. So often we get concerned, and I understand, we get all wrapped up in that they have a good education, that we develop their athletic skills, that they get the right job, they get the right education, that they succeed in life. But I want to tell you, God's Word and history and volume after volume tells us, if you fail to raise them and to train them spiritually, they can have success in all these other ways, and they're still missing, aren't they? Now, you may be tempted to say, well, yeah, Brother Mark, but that's why we send them to church. I mean, all those different ministries, all the great ministries, and we have some great ministries at this church. We have a great children's ministry, amen? They work hard, and they do great things for our kids. We have a great youth ministry at this church. Ton of kids. If you ever doubt about that, come and hang out with us on Wednesday nights. Amen, DC? Just hang around out back there, and there's several. You know, we don't have that many in here because a lot of them that we're in here are back there helping now. We have great ministry for our children and for our youth. But I want you to understand something from my heart. Everything that we do in this church is to be a supplement to what you're doing, not a substitute. Does that make sense? We're here to substitute. We're here to supplement. We're here to help. We're here to encourage. We're here to build upon. But you've got to build the foundation. We have them here for, you know, if we're lucky, three and a half hours a week. When you count all Sunday school and Wednesdays and Sunday morning, Sunday, I mean, probably three and a half hours. You have them all the rest of the time. And I understand they're at school, and I understand. But please realize, everything we do here is a supplement. It's not a substitute. Now, I want you to think for just a moment on this subject. I'll give you one example. Something as simple as teaching your children to brush their teeth. When you were going to teach your children, and when you do teach your children, I can promise you one thing that you're not going to do and that you didn't do is you didn't set them down in a chair and have a toothbrush in your hand and then say, now I need to give you the history of the toothbrush. And you don't give them a word study lesson on cavities. What do? You take a toothbrush and you put it in their hand. And you take a thing of toothpaste and you show them how to put it on the toothbrush. And then you hold their hand and you help them learn how to brush their teeth back and forth, the motions, right? You showed them. I think that's what that movie War Room was all about, was showing us that it's how important it is to show someone how to do something. See, I've learned people aren't very good at taking orders, but they're pretty good at following examples. Amen? Y'all, you that way? You'd much rather follow an example than try to take an order, wouldn't you? And that's what we need. There are a generation. Look around. There are those that are currently in school, those going to be out of school shortly, some of them just now getting out of school. Just look around. They need some men and some women that shows them what does a good marriage look like. They need for somebody to show them how you love and how you encourage as parents. They need somebody to show them what it means to be a mom and a dad. Amen? And how to be supportive of what they're doing without being, without just going crazy. And I'm probably thinking more about sports there. They need some example about how to use their gifts. Why do we celebrate so much when somebody, when Arlene and Brandy play, or Judy or Stephanie or Jay or Tony or Jennifer, any of the rest of them that come up here and sing, why do we celebrate that so much? Because it's showing everybody else how you use your gifts. And I could go on and on. Teachers and those who take care of meals for us, those who decorate our church. I could go on for a long time. But this next generation of believers needs to be shown, don't they? You don't just tell them, this is what you do. Because they're like us. They don't take orders very well. But they follow examples very well. So how do you do that? Well, I want to share with you three approaches. I've got about 3 minutes. So that's a minute and approach. How many of y'all think I can do it? I can do it. I can get there. Three approaches that are going to help you with this. Because you know me, I don't want to just paint a picture and say this is what it looks like. I want to show you how to paint that picture. How do you be an example? Three things. Number one, the first approach is what I call you open up your Bible. There is something powerful when someone opens up a Bible and sits down at a table, a coffee table, at a table at a cafe, and says, this is what the Word of God says to me. What does it say to you? Amen? Come on, amen? There's something powerful when you open up the Word of God together. Second approach is what I call open up your home. You don't necessarily have to have everything inside. You can have it out on the porch. You can have it around the pool. You can have it out at the corral. It doesn't matter. But you open up your home. You invite this younger generation to come and to see how you live this Christian life. The third approach is you open up your calendar. What do I mean by that? I mean you give time, don't you? You know, you've heard me say it a number of times. Children, everyone spells love T-I-M-E. And it's the truth. I can say I love somebody all day long. But when I give my time, because see, time is even more valuable than money. Truth of the matter is, we can always come up and make some more money, can't we? We can sell something, we can do whatever, we can go work a few extra hours, whatever. But you only have a certain amount of time, and when you give your time, you're telling them they're important to you. Brothers and sisters, you want to know how vital it is that we spend time and open up our calendar, open up our Bibles, and open up our homes to this next generation? Look at those last two. I know most of you already put them away. There's two more verses there in there. That's all right. I'll read them to you. He goes on to say, at the end of that verse, he said, they will not, if you do these things, they won't bring shame on the Word of God. And he gets going through this in Exodus. He's talking about, don't bow down and worship idols. I am the Lord your God. I demand all of your love. If you reject me, I will punish or discipline your families for 3 or 4 generations. Now, I'm not going to stop there, but if we did, that's telling us there's a lot at stake, isn't there? But I'm glad there's one more verse, because we don't usually get to verse 6. We stop at verse 5. But of those, if you love me and obey my laws, I will be kind to your family for thousands of generations. What he's saying is this is a lot at stake. And you may be here and say, you know what, Mark, I understand what you're saying, but I've never had that family relationship like you're talking about. And I understand. I was lucky enough to come up in a godly family, a mom and dad who loved me, and brothers who were okay. I got to say that because one of them is probably watching online, so I got to tell him that. I grew up in a great family. But I understand you might not have. It happens. And what this verse is telling you is you can break the cycle right here, right now. To where years from now, just as Brian's song was talking about, the people who come after us will be able to look and say, man, I am so glad that back there in 2016, my family broke the cycle of not having those kind of relationships that we ought to have. We cherish you, mothers. We thank you. As a matter of fact, one thing I kind of skipped over, and that is almost every time God tries to show us an illustration about what the church is supposed to be like, he always relates it back to the family, doesn't he? Because that's the best example we've got. And each of you exemplify that. In each of those three approaches that I talked about, I've witnessed them in my mom's life, my mother-in-law's life, my wife's, my daughter's, daughter-in-law's. All of you ladies as the members of this church, all the churches that I've pastored, ladies that I've worked with at schools and businesses, y'all all exemplify those three areas and more. And it's just important to realize that when we love God and we obey Him, He will be kind to our families for thousands of generations. That's a pretty good deal, amen? That's a pretty good deal. But see, you might be here this morning and you might need to make a decision before that change can happen. Maybe you're here and you've never invited Christ in your life. I want to encourage you before you leave here. I know it's Mother's Day. I know you got... We kind of got our clock set for what restaurant we can get to all eat at, but trust me. If God's speaking to you about that today is the day, don't put it off. You come and meet me here in the front in just a moment when Brian leads us into Him. And I'll share with you how you can invite Christ in your life and begin to make a difference for thousands of generations in your family. Maybe you've been visiting and it's time to make this your home. You know, it's one thing to hang out at some people's houses to visit. It's another thing to live there. Amen? Same thing with the church. It's one thing just to kind of come and hang out every now and then. Maybe you need to live here. Maybe you need to join and become a part of this church. Amen? whatever it might be. Brian's going to come, as Brandy and Arlene come and begin playing for us. I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're not going to linger long, all right? If you're visiting with us and you wonder, I always say that, don't I? And that we're going to do one verse. If no one comes, we're going to stop. Now, if you come, Brian will keep singing, trust me. But we're not going to sit here and linger long. You come if God speaks to you.